Welcome to my first ever podcast. My very, very first guest is a young lad called Dylan Trinnery. I got to know Dylan some time ago. I'm actually good mates with his father, and I'm now training Dylan and coaching him and helping him on his journey to the New York Marathon and ultimately an Ironman Hawaiian Triathlon. Anyway, Dylan will fill you in more about our relationship and tell us a lot more about himself. Welcome, Dylan. How are you today?
I'm very well, thanks, Peter. How are you?
Yeah, I'm going well, mate. Welcome to my first ever podcast.
Thanks for having me.
It's going to be an absolute pleasure, I'm sure. So why don't we start off by maybe you telling us how you know me and how we came together.
Right, so I guess we wind back the clock to when you and Dad were playing footy together. So obviously you guys got to know each other
about 30 years ago.
I know, before I was thought of, and I think legend has it that I was actually conceived on the trip
when I was in the USA
with mum and dad.
That's right.
We'll leave that for another podcast, maybe for mum and dad. But yeah, so you were around you guys obviously hung around when I was growing up, and I have fond memories of heading down to the Takos house down in just off Churchill Road, in between Braun Road and Churchill Road. So obviously you and Dad were family friends, obviously Amanda and Mum as well. And there was a few years kind of where kind of life got in the way, and we drifted a bit. We didn't see each other as often, I guess.
Through your teenage years, really.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, so people get busy and life gets in the way. And then it was kind of towards the end when you moved back into the area, just around the corner, that we reconnected. And then obviously in Bali, Dad's 50th.
So tell us about Bali. Let's find out what happened there.
All right.
That's really where you came into play and I came into play, and where we decided we'd sort of start training together.
Yeah. So we'll rewind just a little bit before Bali. So I was engaged. I was with a girl for about 3 and a bit years, and I'd got engaged about a year and a half prior to Bali. And then it was Mother's Day, actually. So just before we went to Bali, 20 days before, we broke up. I'd been going through some issues, and there'd been a few problems surrounding that. But pretty much what happened is when I broke up with her, I went on a bit of a tangent and started to lose my way a bit. So I was partying and doing my own thing, and I was reckless. I was out of control, pretty much. So hit the plane.
When we're talking reckless, we're talking like really hitting the alcohol. A little bit of recreational,
yeah. A bit of this, bit of that.
If you know what I mean.
Yeah,
you're
in living life on
not
the
a
edge.
Great way, really. Nah, like, weren't going down a good path at all.
Nah,
all right. Nah. And then we hit Bali.
Yes.
Your dad's 50th, so my good mate's 50th.
Yeah, so we landed, and I thought, beauty, I've got a single room. I'm just gonna hammer the chicks and get out there. So I pretty much landed, went out the first night. Got involved with a bit of trouble. I got robbed the first night for cost me around $1,000, and that was two Balinese guys following me back to my hotel room at kind of 9 a.m.
for no reason, just unlucky.
I was just being reckless, Pete. I was hanging around people I shouldn't.
So it wasn't totally random.
Yeah, okay. And it was my own fault. Yeah. And I was kind of like, hang on, my dad's going to be up. Like, my whole family's here at this hotel. Yeah. Like,
I remember your mum texting me early hours of the morning.
So this was the first day. This was the first one, though. Okay, so they didn't know about this. So they came. The guy came back and he left. And then I kind of scrambled to my brother's room, like, oh, can I borrow some money? Like, I can't let mum know that I've rah rah. And then the next night we went out and we had that dinner on Poppy's Lane. And me and Dad were button heads, and I was, because I hadn't really slept, and I was agitated,
grumpy.
And, then that second night I got my drink spiked. So got delivered back to the hotel, convulsing on a baggage trolley. So Mum and Dad had to come down and pick me up, and that's where kind of everything came to a head, exploded, really.
Yeah, and then from there, what were your thoughts? Is that when you decided you had to change?
Yeah, so the penny dropped, and I kind of remember waking up, and my brother was asleep on the daybed in the room, and he said, look, Mum, Dad and me have been taking shifts in here and watching you because you were hallucinating and seeing things, and they thought you were going to die. And I kind of thought, wow. And Mum and Dad came into the room, and they were both kind of sleep deprived, and I could just see the pain in their eyes. So the penny dropped, and I just thought, all right, let's get it sorted. So yeah, from then on, I didn't go out. I didn't drink for the rest of the trip. Well, Dad's birthday, I drank. And
I remember you saying to me, when we get back, Pete, you want to run.
Yeah. I don't know why, because I remember the dinner on the, because I was getting real edgy. I was getting those panic attacks. I remember when we were at the Potato Head and I had a panic attack and left, and I wasn't in a good way. But I remember you on the last night when we went to that all-you-can-eat meat place where they'd come and cut the meat. And I remember you saying, oh, I'd never eat till I'm full. And me and Jacko went on a 5K run this morning. I remember thinking, like, 5Ks, like, that seems like forever. And then I got back, and I don't know what it was, but the first night after we got back, I woke up that morning and I messaged you and I said, look, I want to get fit, mate. What do I do? And you sent me three runs, and I did that first 40-minute run, and I'd only got 6.5 Ks in, and my feet bled and my back hurt, but I did that run, and then I did the second one, and I never looked back.
Yeah. There's something about it that just you knew you had to do, really, wasn't it?
Yeah,
to make a change.
Yeah, and I think that's what I was telling myself during the run. Like, you've done all this work and burnt so many bridges and caused so many problems. It's time for you to suffer a bit. And I think I found a bit of a bit of joy in the suffering. Kind of a bit of like a redemption. So making myself suffer kind of meant to me that I was kind of making amends with everything. So I think that's what helped me.
Yep. And then from there, mate, so we set you a few runs. You had a few niggles, a few injuries early on.
Yeah.
It was hard for your body to adapt. It wasn't used to it.
Yeah.
And then from there, how did we get together then? You came up with the idea of the marathon meeting, didn't you?
There's a half marathon in August. Like, why don't we have a look at that, Pete? I said, Pete, do you reckon we'll be ready? And you said, yeah, why not? And then I said, hang on, there's a 10K event in Melbourne in a couple of weeks. Like, why don't we incorporate that as our long run? So you, me and Dad all hopped in the car and drove to Melbourne and just to run 10K and then drove home. And I remember...
It's like we ran a marathon, wasn't it?
Oh.
We ate enough food to cover the calorie.
Oh, my God. We only did it in 50 minutes and we thought we were blistering. And
but we loved it. It was one of the most enjoyable races I've ever done.
It was the funnest thing I've ever done. And I remember crossing that line like, wow. Like, so... Went from the city to Bay to, all right, we'll do this half marathon, and that's when one of my kind of injuries hit me. I think running downhill so fast at the end at Melbourne, I twinged something in my ankle, and I limped that whole Adelaide half marathon. I think I had 8 anti-inflammatories that's in the space of 2 hours. Yeah, so
that was tough.
Yeah, but and then from there, I thought let's look bigger. And I remember we were running, and I said, oh. I'd like to run a marathon, but it's pretty daunting. And I remember you looked at me, we're on King William Street, just about to turn into Halifax Street, and you said, I'm not letting you stop until you do a marathon, Dylan. What don't you understand?
Yeah.
Then we thought, why don't we have a 4 or 5 year goal, maybe the New York Marathon, and then did a couple more runs, and I thought, yeah, I'm too impatient to wait for that. So we had a look, and I thought, why don't we do it this year? Why don't we vlog about it, and why don't we document it and put it all on the table, and here we are.
And that's the commitment now, isn't it? Like you created the marathon, man. I'm with you on. I'm coaching. My lad does the editing for the vlogs. It's all sort of come together. But there's a strong commitment now to the New York Marathon. We've all signed up. Your dad signed up.
Yeah.
By the way, your dad's, probably won't mind me saying it, but he's probably being kind, probably 10 kilos overweight.
Yeah.
Hasn't run since the old footy days when I knew him. Your mum's doing it, which is fantastic. And my wife's doing it as well. So it's a big commitment.
My brother
now.
As well.
And your brother. He's come on board. Yeah. So it's a massive commitment. And it ranges from someone like me who's done a marathon and Ironman, someone like you who's come from a long way back with your drinking and whatever, and your dad who's carrying a lot of weight, and your mum who's never really ran much, and Amanda's never ran much.
Yeah, so. And I remember Amanda's a bronze medalist for a half marathon there, Petey.
That's exactly right.
You're talking.
Yeah, true.
But mum always said to me, because I remember we're in Hawaii, and mum goes, oh, I'd love to do it, but I can't run. She goes, even when I was in high school, I used to hide behind the Stobie pile. I used to hide, but she's downloaded that couch to 5K, and she's been running like the wind. And she said to us yesterday, she goes, I don't like walking now. I have to do intervals when I run. So she's on her way.
Mate, there's one thing about your mum I've known determined. Over the last 30 years. She's got, she's got determination, I reckon, and you get that from her. And your dad's got a lot of stubbornness and determination as well, and that's a big part of it. So.
I think the fear of failure as well is a massive part of it as well.
Yeah, there's a lot of things happening and a lot of variables. But so we're all committed to the New York Marathon.
Yep.
Well, you and me are committed to doing an Ironman together. And ultimately, we will, Hawaiian Ironman. I've just had a knee reconstruction, so I'm getting over that. So we've all got some hurdles, haven't we?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And I think that's what will make it so much sweeter. Like it'll be so from – I look back when we crossed that line in New York like 18 months ago, I was – 90 kilos. I hadn't run since footy. I was going down a path where I was going to end up in some serious trouble and I wasn't healthy. I wasn't doing any exercise. I wasn't doing anything. And then there's
you. A couple of addictions, really, when you think about it. So tell us, that you've talked to me before about your addictive personality. Just tell me a little bit about how you see that.
So I'm addicted with everything I do, and that's kind of been a blessing and a curse.
It's all or nothing, isn't it?
Pretty much. So at the moment now, I'm not drinking. I haven't drank for two or so months. I didn't drink over any of the holiday break, any of New Year's, Christmas, because I find it easier to switch off and not drink at all than have one drink and go home. But in the same token, with my training, that's been amazing, because after that first run, when I woke up and couldn't move, I went for the second one. I went for the third one, and it got to the point where you were telling me, like, stop training when I'm telling you to have rest days because you're going to burn out. Stop going so hard.
Which,
and it's,
in a way, you're your own worst enemy.
Yeah.
Which we can see why that happened, what happened in Bali. And my way I look at it, I'm trying to make sure that doesn't happen with your training. You know me, I keep saying to you, balance, enjoy your training, you know. Become obsessed with it, but don't let it obsess you.
Yeah,
you know. So
I think I'm slowly getting that handle on it a lot better, especially after having kind of
three. And I reckon you're improving more because of that.
Yeah, definitely.
I reckon you definitely are, so. But it's very interesting that sort of personality, isn't it? When it comes to, you know, training and
same with
success, really.
Eating, gambling, people. Like, I get addicted to people. So like with relationships and stuff, I'd throw everything into that relationship and put my own things aside. And it's just something that I've got to deal with, and I've got to succumb to the fact that I'm probably going to have that mindset forever.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with, I think there's nothing wrong with having that if you're aware of it. You know, if you're not aware of it and you're sucked into the claws of it, then that's when it's a problem, I think.
Yeah.
And the good thing about sport, marathon, Ironman, is it throws it straight back at your face. If you overindulge in that sort of personality with drinking and whatever,
it can almost
kill you.
Yeah.
The good thing about a marathon or this sort of training, you get an injury. And that tells you straight away, and you just pull it back in a bit.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just an easier way of ticking that obsessive box.
Yeah.
Without killing yourself.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I find it really interesting. And I find it interesting coaching you because of that, you know, and just sort of trying different things to make sure that, you know, keep you motivated, but also make sure you're not getting too unhealthy.
Too over the top, and that's especially even with my weight kind of thing in the early days when I was obsessive
Dylan,
with the weight.
I will tell you, Dylan measures his weight when he gets up in the morning, when he goes to bed, when he eats, when he drinks, when he...
But it probably, without a word of a lie, I'd weigh myself 15 to 20 times a day. Not even kidding. Before a piss, after a piss, before breakfast, after, like, when I get home from work.
Yeah. And part of that is because you want to run better. But I hope and I think what will happen, and I hope this will happen, that as you get more into it and you get good results and you're achieving things, you'll let that go and you just know you'll run well.
Yeah.
And that'll happen, I think.
Yeah.
Because I was a little bit similar when I was training as well.
And I think that's what's helped, because we're very alike. So when you say to me, hang on, I think it was the other day, he said, did you do a 30-minute ride after the swim? Because when you swim, I always put on a kilo or so because I swallow water. And you said, did you do a ride? And I was supposed to be tapering. I said, no, I just had tight legs from after the swim. And he said, you're worried about the weight, aren't you? And I said, yep, you know me too well, Peter. So
exactly.
It's good like that.
Mate, tell us about the vlogs. What's it mean to you? What do you get out of it? What are you trying to do with it?
Well, I think a part of it is so it keeps us accountable.
Yep.
It's something to look back on, that we can look at our progression and think, hang on, 40 weeks ago this was my training load, and now 40 weeks into the future I'm doing this, and it just makes you, it gives you something to look back on,
and even history,
years
it?
To come, and keeps everyone else informed, and if it can inspire someone else to kind of do what I've done, because there's the one video, the About Me, where I kind of put it all on the table and told everyone, and that thing got 500-600 views.
Which is 500% more than we normally get. So if that can
help someone like me who's maybe going through similar things, then that's awesome. I find that amazing. So there's that. That's the thing for us. And it's also fun, and it keeps me busy.
Yeah.
So if I know I've got to be accountable for the blog, I'm not going to go out and drink or not come home or something.
It's a way of staying accountable, isn't it?
Yeah.
I find that too with the coaching of you and whatever, that I want to make sure we do something every week that's worthwhile to be in there, that it's good training, it's good, you know, it just keeps you, it's a discipline, really.
Yeah.
And even like my lad Jackson, who does the editing, he's in a routine.
He's got it down pat now. He's
It's interesting, and I'd have to say you're a natural at it. You know, we all know that. Like you love the screen, you love your voice, you love the look of yourself.
Love
you
myself. I think that's just the key. But
in a way, you've found a passion there. I think, yeah, as well as the training out of this. So I reckon that's good. You know, and we're all learning what it takes to run a vlog.
Yeah,
and which is the new age way of communicating with people, as well as podcasting and whatever. So
yeah,
I think we're all learning from that from that as well. But I think it's a good way of self expression. You know, maybe when you used to drink and that, I don't know if you're like me, when I used to drink, I used to get louder and become an extrovert all of a sudden. This is probably ticking that box for you as well without having to drink.
Yeah, definitely.
As well. So, yeah, mate. So what else can you tell me? What drives you?
I don't know. I really like the whole idea of the running and the endurance stuff is so challenging because no matter how fit you get, it always hurts. It's not like you get, I'm 6 months in and every run is just a walk in the park and you get quicker and it hurts more. You can never get to the point where, because I'm sure even the elite marathoners that are doing it in 2 hours, it fucking hurts for them as well. Mm. Like it's never going to get, oh, hang on, I've ticked, like I'm fit, whatever fit is. But it's the continual progression and the ability to kind of battle through. And the thing is, you've got nowhere to hide. So I could say to you, I'm a watch dyed, but I did 10Ks and I think 40 minutes or something. If you have me running a time trial and those results don't reflect at all, there's nowhere to hide. Mm-hmm. And the accountability and the whole fact that you can't cheat it and what you put in is what you get out. And it's direct correlation of how hard you work is your result and what you benefit from it.
Yeah. And probably, I don't know if you're like me, I think you are. The bigger picture is it gives you something outside of work, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Something to stay focused on and keep your mind off the bad stuff
or
the distractions.
Yeah.
And it's good for friendships. You've got a couple of mates you run with and you know, we run as a group sometimes and do some group things and we swim now. You've met my twin brother and mates.
And that whole other group. Yeah, they're good influences too.
It's the people you surround yourself with now.
And the whole mindset of working hard, organising your time and it translates into life. Like when I have a family and kids and stuff, nothing's too hard because there's times where I'm waking up at 3:30 so that I can ride at 3:45 in the morning before I go to work. You know what I mean? Like
it's teaching you.
It's discipline.
Discipline and skills to handle things outside your normal job.
Yeah, you know? And get you out of your comfort zone. And it's like I'm excited to go to sleep at 10 o'clock on a Saturday because I know I'm going to wake up at 6, feel refreshed and run 20Ks before everyone gets up. Yeah. Like it's that something that you have to look forward to. So you don't – whereas I used to sit in bed on a Thursday, Friday and message someone that I'd maybe seen two or three times in a year, like, you going out? What do you want to do? Because if I wasn't going out, I'd fear that I was wasting all these weekends and not doing anything.
I think personally, because I've got a similar personality, obviously, because we like the endurance sports. I think the thing as blokes, I can't talk for women, but I know as being a guy, for us, we're ambitious. We need something to get our teeth into. We need something to achieve, to measure ourselves, to hurt ourselves and recover. We need it, don't we?
And I love the challenge.
I party hard when I party.
Yeah.
Like you're harder than me, obviously. But we work hard.
Yeah.
You know? And I think men need it. And to me, the marathon's better.
Yeah.
Because it's more of a test. You know, the sprint distance, it sort of doesn't push you as much anywhere near, does it?
Yeah.
It's a lot more organising, a lot more discipline.
And that's the thing as well. Like when people say, I'm running, but I come home, I'm checking my heart rate, the elevation, the average pace and how much a hill impacts my speed overall and working out my nutrition, my hydration and I know if I don't get it spot on during the day that I'm going to bonk that night and my diet and it's just that routine. Like I know that I'll come home from a long run Sunday, generally around 9:30, relax for about a half an hour. I'll come see you. Yep. We'll watch the vlog that's going to go up that Sunday with Jacko. Then I'll go do my food shopping and my meal prep and that's my Sunday and I love it.
Yep.
And that's the
keeps you organised.
The regiment, being regimented. That's I really that appeals to me.
And I think that's the beauty of the marathon and above Ironman, all that type.
And not everyone does it. Not many people can do it.
A lot of people can't.
Anyone can do it. No one wants to.
Well, that's true. Isn't it? Anyone can do it. And we're not talking about we're not elite athletes.
Nah. You know, that's the thing. We're everyday mum and pup like runners.
Yep.
With the passion, and we don't hide from that. We're nowhere near the top tier, and that's one thing that I enjoy because I'm really competitive.
Yeah,
but I'm not being. We're not being unrealistic and think we're gonna win the Adelaide Half Marathon.
Nah.
We're just battling against ourselves, and I think this is one of the only things that you can battle yourself and be truly content with the results. Because if you played footy and you thought, oh, I got 28 kicks this week instead of 24, you're never going to be happy if there's two other people to get best players before you,
yep.
even though you've bettered yourself.
Yep.
But with running, you'll be happy that you beat your time by 10 minutes, even if there's 40 or 50 other runners in front yeah. of you.
And ultimately, I think, this is my approach and this is my coaching style. Ultimately, you're happy you did the right preparation,
yep.
you enjoyed it, you had balance, and you got the result you deserved from the yep. training. And like I've always said to you, don't I, the result is what it is, mate.
Yeah.
If it was bad results,
expect
enjoy
the unexpected,
it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Enjoy whatever result you get. Yeah. Because if you get a bad result, well, guess what? When you get a good result, you're gonna feel better.
Yeah. So that's it.
It's all about balance, you know. And you know, I don't coach to the level of an elite athlete because I actually don't sort of find that inspiring to me. I find more inspiring someone like you who's come from nothing and are getting to a certain level,
yeah.
you know, and enjoying it. You know, that's to me. I find that not only inspiring but rewarding to coach someone like
that. And I guess that's another thing that's probably been the highlight of this is seeing kind of how happy you are and mum and dad and seeing everyone's opinion of me change and how happy they are. And I've probably had 25, 30 people message me on Instagram and Facebook.
Yeah, you have an impact on all your friends.
Yeah.
How old are you? 23?
23, yeah.
So that's pretty impressive at 23 to be doing that even, you know, I think. So I know many 23-year-olds that wouldn't even contemplate it.
Yeah.
Too busy with girls, drinking, whatever. You know?
Yeah.
I guess you've been through it, but you've aged a lot quicker than most, I think, with a few things that have happened to you in your life.
Yeah, and I think, Mum had always said that to me after everything with Papa and that when I was young, that I grew up quick. And even
I can say, mate, I always say, you know, that you come over my house when you were 7 or 8 and you just had that look in your eye of wisdom, maturity, cheekiness. Yeah. It was all there early, don't worry.
Yeah. You know? And that's always, whenever Dad would have friends over, you, whoever, I'd always want to hang around with the boys. I was 9 or 10 hanging around the shed with you. Like, Mum would have to drag me to bed.
You wanted something out of life
even
back then. And you could see we knew a little bit about life and we were doing something about it, which is incredible, really. It's in your nature, you know. So, it's good. So, do you mind talking about your grandpa and what happened there?
No, I'm happy to share that.
You want to just fill us in a little bit on that? Because I think that's part of your character how it shaped you. And also a little bit about your schooling, if you want to talk a little bit about that as well.
So, so when I was 7, Papa was a competitive bowler. So, he used to love his bowling, then ran into some knee issues. So, we needed to take up a sport to kind of fill his time. So, he took up sport shooting. And he's very good at it, very, very good at it. And then kind of when he finished, he was selling one of his rifles. He put it up online and a guy came to the house and said, I'll buy it from you. And he said, oh, look, you don't have a gun license. I can't sell it to you. The guy said, oh, it's in the mail. Can I have a test shoot the next day? So he left with him and then he shot Papa in the back of the head and left him for dead.
That's amazing. And this guy was on bail, wasn't he?
Was on bail for two other firearms.
Which is topical at the moment, given a guy on bail has just ran through the Berkshire
people in Melbourne
and killed 5 people. Yeah.
And it was actually Nana noticed something she didn't like and she wrote his number plate down that's how they kind of swooped on it so quick. And I remember it like it was yesterday, it's coming up 17 years this year.
So it had a massive effect on you, really.
Yeah, and even the way kind of mum, like it changes the way people parent. Like
if, changes your mum.
Yeah.
Like protective maybe. Or,
big time.
Yeah. And I can see it still affects your mum now.
Yeah.
And your dad, you can see it. And
then 2013 it got brought because he got found mentally insane and didn't face the charges. So in 2013 he got brought up to court. He wanted to get a variation on his license to effectively let him reintegrate into the community. So that was 3 years of back and forth, us going through a court appealing it, and after winning a couple it went to the High Court, and then he got it approved. So he's now doing day trips and learning how to use the library and the bank and stuff again. So
isn't that amazing?
Yeah, and the thing that hurt me the most with that is that Nana was still alive for it. After everything that happened, she had to go through that, and it was at the point where she just said, stuff it, who cares? But Mum and her brothers went to court and didn't tell Nana about it because they just couldn't go on thinking that. Yeah. So
someone had to make a stand.
Yeah, and that was a tough 3 years kind of thing. And
I don't know, but you might be able to enlighten us, but it probably gives you a little bit of, as a child, seeing that, well, what's life about? You know, you do the right thing and you still, that sort of thing happens. You know? Maybe it makes you a little bit more live for the moment.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah. And I get it. And it's impossible to say what effect, but it's
you wanted to study law for a while. Though, I did. I remember that as a young child.
When I was younger, I wanted to study law because we were so close as well. It wasn't like any grandfather and kind of grandson relationship. We actually, Mum and Dad went to work. Well, Mum went back to work straight away. So we were raised by them from zero to five, and then he'd pick us up from school every single day. So it was like a second set of parents.
So it's a big impact on your life.
Big time.
And schooling, mate? You went to school in the local school here?
Yeah, so St. Martin's, I love school. I was kind of king of the kids in primary school.
I'd say one thing. I remember very early on in your kindergarten life, I think it was, where your mum come up to me and said, oh, Dylan's escaped. He's jumped.
I think I'm still the only one to escape. So I climbed the 7-foot ladder.
I remember saying it out. Mate, I told you. He's going to cause you. He's going to...
I climbed the lattice fence and they found me a couple of hours later playing a few houses down with the cat.
They cracked me up when I heard that.
Then primary school, I loved it. I was kind of king of the kids. I had a lot of friends in primary school, and then kind of high school, that all changed. I kind of got bullied for 4 or 5 years, and I kept it to myself and didn't really involve mum and dad. And
did that happen, you think, because you were pretty confident, pretty extroverted?
I think so, and it didn't bother me, and I've always kind of say how it is, and I don't kind of hide. I wouldn't change myself, and it was a few issues with one of the other boys, and it kind of just snowballed, and everything's all good now. And when we got to year 11, year 12, we kind of grew up and
got over it. You toughed it out, really.
Yeah,
you
know, pretty much.
And stuck the same school and got through it.
So I didn't want to kind of testament to you. Burden my parents. And Mum always said to me, like, when she found out, like, why didn't you say anything? We would have moved, but I didn't want them to.
I can understand that, mate. I remember at school, I had a couple of incidents too, where, you know, set up in fights and stuff like that, and I'd go home. You just not sort of thing you talk about, do you?
Yeah.
Especially, you know.
Especially back in your day.
In my day, definitely.
Old Greek boy.
To some extent, we got bullied by our own dad because he was such an aggressive. You know, that's the sort of parenting that was around
back in the day.
You go home, you think, well, they're not going to care. That's part of life. So it's really interesting. But, you know, you got through it, mate, and it's probably, once again, made your character as well.
Yeah.
So also, mate, now tell me the future. So what I want to know, ultimately, what's the ultimate thing you want to do
training-wise?
Yep. Fitness-wise, and ultimately, where do you want to end up? Married, kids? Where do you see yourself? Do you want to be? Do you need to be famous? Do you want to be famous? Do you want to? You just want to be happy and have a family here in Adelaide?
So you know how organised I am. So I am. So my 12-month plan. I've got kind of a 12-2 month and a 5-year plan. Yeah. So obviously, at the moment, I own a house, but I'm living at home in my granny flat at mum and dad's.
New York style apartment, I would say. Dad's very handy.
Oh, we both built it. It was but it's good because it allows me the opportunity to still save for a second house and still be able to pay to travel to Gold Coast and New York.
And really, mum and dad are happy enough for that because you're on the straight now.
And that's what they said. If you're good to us and help out, we're more than happy to have you. So my plan is 12 months' time, have all New York and all those marathons done, and we've discussed this with our training. I'll get a 12-month real solid base, and I'll do some triathlons to get some experience, but
which
not really
you're
my focus. So in about January 2018 it will be. So I'm going to go buy a time trial bike and a new road bike, probably spend $8,000-$9,000, and then aim for Ironman Cairns, Ironman Busselton. And then my idea is if I can get real fit, do that for 2-3 years, give it a red hot crack and try and qualify for Hawaii.
Beautiful.
That would be the ideal goal. It's a very tough goal, but
I think you're more than capable, mate, of doing it.
And I don't have kids. I don't have like my responsibilities are work, 9 to 5, clock in, clock out. And if there's going to be a time to do it, it'd be do it now. So,
and where do you see yourself in 15, 20 years' time?
I'd like to think I'd have kids, but at the moment I'm not really caught up in the. I don't miss having someone there. Like I think that's where before Bali, I needed to be in contact with someone. Like I. That human attention, because I wasn't content with my own company. But now, because I'm prepared to sit there and wait to train tomorrow, I just watch YouTube on triathlon or YouTube on running marathons, and I just get...
It'd be hard to find a girl at the moment that would fit in with all that, really.
Yeah, I know. And that's the thing.
It's
like,
a very special or similar person to you that would fit in with all that.
And he even said, like, training's going to jump up to double run day. So who's going to put up with, I can't see XYZ night because I've got to be up at 5 a.m.
an athlete.
Yeah, and I can't stay over on XYZ night because I've got to get home to train. Like, it's...
Yep.
And I'm not fast, and I don't hide away from the fact that it's going to be hard, but I'm not desperate or stressing, so...
No, I think you love what you're doing now so much that that's your priority.
Yeah.
But I definitely can see you with kids and a family one day.
Yeah.
You know? You're probably going ahead a lot quicker than most other people your age anyway. So
yeah.
Probably, I can see you easily having this, you know, the skills to do that as well, with all the everything you're learning through now, through being organised and disciplined and all those things.
Yeah.
Well, we're just about at the end of this, mate. Is there anything else you want to talk about or let me know or talk to us about?
I'd just like to kind of say thanks for you and everything you've done. So,
that's all right, mate.
Mates, that's, and even to Amanda and Jack and Bianca, I guess I've hijacked your dad for the last 7 months. I probably will for the next 2-3 years. And it's a full-time commitment for you as well, in with your training, you're setting training plans, you're checking my results, you're telling me off when I'm going too hard, and we probably talk, you're probably the second most person I talk to apart from Flinny.
Actually, someone said that to me today. They said, oh, how often do you see Dylan? I said, oh,
daily.
We talk every day.
Yeah, like every single day.
I don't talk to anyone else, even my own kids that often.
Yeah, I know. Like it's and that's what the dad said. It was funny because dad's working with his younger apprentice, and I message him. Mum goes, don't take another one of his friends. Like you've already taken one, and dad calls you stepdad now, and it's pretty funny. But it's good because it's brought the families back together, it's ironic because we're going to go back to New York. What is it, 30 years after you went last time?
Yeah,
so it's going to be the 30-year anniversary of when you guys were back. And
that's right.
Now we're going to be there as two families running the New York Marathon. So,
which is, it's quite incredible, really. So
And just obviously like to thank my family, mum, dad and Riley and Amelia, everyone that was in Bali and helped me out.
And I will interview them at some point, mum and dad. I think that would be really interesting. You know, I'll do that after the New York Marathon.
You need the tissues with dad, though, because he's
good.
He's the emotional one.
Nothing wrong with that. That's what I've always liked. I will conclude just by saying I've known his dad for 30 years. When I first moved to the football club that I played, he was the first guy I befriended, really.
Yeah.
And we went away together to Bali, ironically.
Yeah.
And it was probably more him looking after me at that stage.
Yeah.
At times, I looked after him as well. And we just clicked. You know, we have a personality of, and I think you get this as well, where we couldn't go home.
Yeah.
We'd always end up at the bars until they closed. And you, I think you're a chip off the old block.
Yeah, big time.
probably why I get along with you as well. So so it is good to bring that friendship back together and penultimately sort of bring it all together in New York for the
positive reasons as well.
Marathon, good reason. You know, it's going to be massive for me to see your dad do the New York Marathon.
Yeah,
and if he could lose the weight as well,
amazing.
Oh, that'll be just so fantastic. So we'll get him back and chat to him then.
Yeah.
That's it, mate, unless you've got something else to say.
All good. Maybe, mate.
That's his catchphrase, in case you want to know. You watch the vlog, so please join Dylan on the YouTube.
The Marathon Men. All one word, all lowercase, also on Instagram and Facebook. Can't miss us.
I think it's pretty entertaining. It's the professionalism of it, the young Jacko doing the editing.
I guess we've got to thank him as well. He's got it down to he'll pump it out Saturday night.
He's got a new GoPro. He's got
throw the intro in, yeah.
He's got a new GoPro now, so we're going to get some really good footage. He was up on the roof last night.
Was he?
Trying to get the sunset, and he's right into it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he wants a new camera.
Yeah,
he is living
drone eventually.
He's right in.
He's going to do the old Casey Neistat at the sunset at the start.
Oh yeah, he's going to time. You know what? He'll come up with something.
Yeah,
he didn't tell me he's going to do that, but now you've said that, I reckon you're right.
Yeah,
and you know, he's getting really good at it. So you're getting a professional program once a week at this stage, and I think it's worth watching. Dylan, like I said, Dylan's a natural in front of the camera, so don't miss it.
And also, if you're a young budding athlete, copy the training.
Yeah,
jump onto it.
Happy to coach. I want to coach young guys that need help.
Yeah,
or that that need some guidance.
Yeah,
that's where my strengths are. I'm working out what they need and what they want. So, and look, not just me. Email Dylan because Dylan's got just as much knowledge as me. Now,
yeah,
so
and if you face challenges I know the things that are going to crop up. I know what's going to get in your way. So if you want a hand or wanting assistance or even just to get something off your chest,
meet us somewhere for a race.
That's it.
Get on into the training with us. It's free. We want to do this to help people, don't
yep.
we? So spread our message and compete and have fun with it. So thanks, mate.
No worries,
thanks
bud.
Thanks for your time.
Pleasure.
Let's go train.